So it's my pleasure to bring you the word this morning, and we are looking this month at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we had a great start to the month with Pastor Kay sharing about Pentecost and other instances of in the New Testament where people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how to receive it. It is a gift. It is a gift from God. And last week, Pastor Warren talked about seeking the Holy Spirit baptism, and his purpose is to point us to Jesus Christ and his saving work on the cross and the love of God for us. That's just like a little snapshot. There was a lot more than that. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is transformational. So today, I'd like us to look at how Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And we're going to read some verses in John chapter 14. Before I read those, while you're finding that, first I'm just going to remind us what takes place in the chapter before, in chapter 13. We read that Jesus demonstrated his remarkable love to the disciples by washing their feet. Then they shared supper together, what is now well known as the Last Supper. The disciples learned that one of them was going to betray Jesus. Jesus predicts Peter's denial. And it seems the disciples were full of sorrow and troubled by the thought of Jesus leaving them. So let's read a few verses in John chapter 14. And we're going to read from verse 12 to 21. So just a few there. And we'll cover those off in my sermon. So John chapter 14, verses 12 to 21. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or another helper to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my God, my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. There's quite a lot in those verses, I know. That's beautiful. It's part of the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples that very last night that they were together, the last night before he was betrayed, the last night before his death. He wanted to instruct the disciples how to continue to believe even after his death, even though he knew they couldn't take it all in. In these verses in John chapter 14, Jesus gives the disciples and us three promises to help them through their troubles. And I've just called this message Three Promises, just to let you know. All right, Steve? Three promises. The first one, we read that in verse 12. When Jesus departs to the Father, his work will continue on earth. That was the first promise. I'm sure the disciples thought, it's all over now. What are we going to do once Jesus goes? Most people were waiting for the Messiah to be a political figure that was going to overthrow the Romans. But even after being with Jesus for 3.5 years, the disciples still didn't fully know what his mission was and the role that he had for them. They were afraid about the future now without Jesus. And I think we can relate with that sometimes. Sometimes we get a bit afraid of our futures too, what's going to happen. But Jesus relieved their fear, and we see this in verses 12 to 14. He said, "I tell you the truth, or most assuredly, be assured, you will do greater things than these." So what were the greater things that disciples were going to do? Surely nothing beats raising someone from the dead, which Jesus did. No, it was that the disciples would spread the good news of the kingdom of God to more people, to more places than Jesus ever did in his life and ministry. And it was spread to even to the far ends of the earth, which I think probably New Zealand is classed as like the far ends of the earth. So the spread throughout the whole world because of what the disciples did and what Jesus commissioned them to do. So the first promise was that the disciples would continue Jesus' work on earth after he had gone to be with the Father. And the second promise is in verses 15 to 17. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Wow, beautiful words. In the chapter before this, as we read in chapter 13, Jesus had demonstrated how much he loved the disciples by washing their feet. It's not something most of us do, is it? Yeah. But he told them what their loving response should be in keeping his commandments. He commanded them to wash one another's feet, to serve one another, in other words. Just as he had shown us. He commanded them to love one another. He commanded them to put their faith in God, the Father, and in Jesus himself. Jesus was speaking to the proper source of our obedience. And it's not out of fear that we obey God. It's not out of pride. It's not out of a desire to earn any blessings that we obey God. It's out of love. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Spirit of Truth." So that was the second promise that Jesus gave his disciples that last night that they were together. Another helper to be with them forever. And the third promise came straight after that, in verses 18 to 21. "I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." I was reading that sometimes we bring in theologians that we sort of read about online, and there's a great man called Spurgeon that talked about this part. And this is what he said. "An orphan has parents who are dead. The Spirit shows us Jesus is alive. An orphan is left alone. The Spirit draws us close to God's presence. An orphan has lost their provider. The Spirit provides all things. An orphan is left without instruction. The Spirit teaches us all things. An orphan has no defender. The Spirit is protector." So that was the third promise that Jesus gave his disciples during their last night together before he was betrayed. So Jesus understood that his disciples and us, all of us, over the centuries, we were going to need some help. We were going to need help to walk this journey, to keep his commandments, even to be able to love God and love other people. We need his help. So God the Son promised to pray to God the Father and ask for the giving of God the Holy Spirit to all believers. Isn't that wonderful? It's the Trinity all working together. God, and the three parts of God, which, okay, it's hard to get your head around God is three, but it is one God. But there are three parts to God that we can understand. Three parts working beautifully together. Jesus didn't make it complicated. He just simply spoke of how the three persons of the Trinity would work for the good of God's people, for you and me who believe in him. Jesus was soon going to leave his disciples. But he said he would remain with them. How could this be? So Jesus told his disciples a little further on that night that unless he goes away, the counselor, the advocate, the helper would not come. But if I go, he said, I will send him to you. He was to send another helper. The word helper has the idea of someone called to help someone else. It can mean advisor, a legal defender, a mediator, an intercessor. Helper has been translated comforter as well, which from the Latin means to strengthen. It's really great, great word. And the word another is the ancient Greek word was used, meaning another of the same kind. So when you put that together, the Holy Spirit is another kind of the same kind of strength, of like Jesus. He was going to lead the disciples, but remain with them with another helper, another of the same kind, who would show the nature of Jesus. Well, that was a great assurance to the disciples, and it is to us today. I can imagine some of the thoughts of the disciples over that whole night when Jesus was talking to them about how he's going to leave them. And you know, he addressed the thoughts that, oh, Jesus is abandoning us. He tells them, no, you will not be left as orphans. When he leaves, they thought, we won't know what to do. We won't know where to go. What shall we say? Now they wouldn't have less help. They would have more help with the Holy Spirit coming. As an Assembly of God church, what we believe is that all believers are entitled to and should eagerly expect and seek the promise of the Father, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why Pastor Warren mentioned when we were praying today, if you want to come and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can do that in our prayer times. You can do it any time after the service, talk to someone. You can do it when you get home and you're all quiet by yourself in your own room, which is what happened with Pastor Kay. She told us about that. It was the normal experience of all believers in the early church to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So when we become followers of Christ, we know that we are born again and the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us so much more. We have strength and power through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We have a new language that comes with it, that is used to worship God, and we can talk one-on-one with God. And having the Holy Spirit's power in our lives is the most effective way to neutralize the attacks of the enemy. The same Holy Spirit power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. That's a pretty powerful thought. The same Holy Spirit power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. I just saw these beautiful words this morning that I had to add in here to my message, and it says, unless Jesus did what he came to do, there would be no gospel. If he did not die, he could not remove our sins. He could not rise again and defeat death. If he did not go back to the Father, the Holy Spirit would not have come. Christ's presence on earth was limited to one place at a time. But his leaving meant he could be present to the whole world through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I was thinking, you might be thinking, so how does this knowledge and all these great truths relate to our lives? What do we do with this? What do we do with this information? So I'd like to share a story that happened to me just a few weeks ago. So I got a phone call from my sister, from Trina, and she said, do you know anyone that does house blessings? And I said, well, yeah, I can do that. And it was somebody that she used to work with, and they meet regularly for coffee, and they wanted someone to come and bless their nan's house. So I made a time, and I went there, and his sister answered the door. And she'd just been in hospital and had come to the chapel service just the Sunday before, so I knew who she was. And that was lovely to see again. And then I came inside, and I know the Nan as well. And I'm like, wow, God's really in this. I was meant to be here. And I sat down and talked with them, and they said, well, Nan has this little camera in her room because she's just felt uneasy about something, and she's picked up on this camera, and they showed me a screenshot of this black sort of image that was in the room, this big black sort of shadow. And I'm like, okay, this is a bit more than a house blessing. So I had been praying lots before I got there, of course. You never know what's going to happen, eh, as a Christian. So I said, right, this is what I'm going to do. And I said, I speak in tongues with the authority of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go through in each room and bless this house. And we're going to go into Nan's room and just tell that spirit that it needs to go. So both the grandson and granddaughter came with me. And they came into the room, and immediately we could sense the spirit, this presence that was there. So we prayed all together, and we prayed. And I just prayed in the name of Jesus, that presence had to go. And I was very forceful. And it did. And I knew it would, because God is greater than anything else here on this earth. God is greater than any presence that we come across. God is greater than any attack that we have. God is greater. He has no equal. God is greater. And then I asked the grandson and granddaughter if they would like prayer, and oh, the Holy Spirit just came upon them in such a beautiful way. I just know that they were really, really touched. And then I asked Nan if I could pray for her, and she's not really a believer, but she said, oh yeah, okay, I could do some peace. So I prayed for her as well. And then I saw her about a week later. And she said, oh, I had the best night's sleep that night. I was amazing. And I just know that their house was totally blessed. I even blessed the dog because they thought maybe the dog had something on him. So that's okay. I blessed the dog as well. And that was just the power of the Holy Spirit just being there, active in my life and in their lives as well. Their faith and my faith connected. And we were able to just bring that peace into the whole household. And it's not nothing that I do. It's nothing that I have. It is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit at work. And I just give all praise and glory to God for that. I didn't have to be afraid of this unwelcome, unwanted spirit in the house. I didn't have to have any fear, because that goes against the Holy Spirit working in my life. So I just went in the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life. And having the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us that power to stand against evil. It helps us to overcome so much. Gives us the power to overcome temptation. And the times that the Holy Spirit gives us special gifts for times that we need that, like the gifts of the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge, the gifts of faith, gifts of healing, there are times that we receive those as well. God gives these extra gifts for a time and for a season, I believe. But he knows, and he will provide, and he's always so good. And in my role in the hospital as a chaplain, I get called to different rooms and situations, and I never know what I'm going to, what's going to be there in that conversation. So I'm usually praying behind my mask, you know, praying in tongues, and nobody can see what's happening, and it's really handy. Oh, we don't have to wear masks now, actually. But I don't care. I can still pray through the corridors. And I just know that God just gives me what I need for that situation. He'll give me the words to pray. He'll give me the words to speak. He'll tell me to be quiet and just listen. I need him every moment of every day. And I love that song we sung that had those words in it as well. That I just pray that constantly. Lord, give me what I need for this day. And the Holy Spirit always does. He always does. So the Spirit equips us for battle with the enemy, and he energizes our prayers as well. So why wouldn't all believers want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, and you've given your life to him, why wouldn't we want to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And we can receive that in this church, obviously. But you know, sometimes there's fear, but afraid of the unknown, or fear that we're maybe not good enough for this beautiful free gift we get from God. Maybe we're afraid of losing our independence. You know, I don't want God to tell me how to live my life. And there's lots of reasons. Sometimes we've had a bad experience. Someone's maybe tried to pray over us and force us to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's lots of barriers. There's lots of reasons that maybe we don't receive. Sometimes we think it's just talking a lot of gibberish. But if it's truly the Holy Spirit on you, it's not gibberish, it's a new language. It's a new language that is so powerful. And I've found in my life, it's made me stronger as a Christian. And I have such an exciting, more powerful life with the Holy Spirit working through me. I never know what's going to happen. It's really great and exciting. I don't think being a Christian is dull and boring, that's for sure. Hopefully you don't either. We can accomplish so much here on this earth because the world needs God. The world needs our Jesus. The world needs the Holy Spirit moving through our land, healing our people. So through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we'll never be orphans or unprotected. We can do greater things than Jesus did, even here on earth. And through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have a helper, the Spirit of truth, who will live with us forever. He will never leave us. Why would we want to try and live our lives without him? It's a transformational decision that we make when we invite the Holy Spirit to really work in our lives and through us. It's a gift that is freely given by our Father God. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, I do thank you for your word. I thank you we can look at your word this morning and just see your promises, to see your power working through your word that was inspired by the Holy Spirit for all those that have written this Bible, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your presence here today. And Lord, that you are indeed working through us and in us and around us, and you're before us and you're behind us, Lord. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here in this place. Lord, we can't do this work without you. We can't live our lives without you. So, Father, I pray that you will meet each one of us just where we're at today, to provide what we need for this day. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. I pray, Father, that we will just call on your name when we feel those attacks coming on us, when we feel that there's a voice in our head that doesn't belong to you, that we can tell them to go in Jesus' name, and it has to go. That is the power of your Holy Spirit in us, Lord. And I'm so thankful. Lord, may you bless us today. As we continue on this day, bless this church and everyone here, everyone connected with our church, everyone that supports our church and our ministry, Lord. We pray your blessing on us all. And thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We're just going to get set up for lunch now. Have a blessed day.